Almost didn't make it back in time, Nick. That was very close, cutting it close. Guys, what is going on? Welcome back to Garbage Time. It is officially preseason, obviously, a game having been played last week, but we are wrapped up in preseason week one. Mm-hmm. Nick, what's going on?
I'm ready.
I see the handle. You make me want to cry a little bit, but that's okay.
I'm ready, dude. We got 30 days.
I'm ready for it too. Preseason week one unofficially starts tomorrow. With I think two or three games being played, and the Patriots are playing tomorrow night against the Houston Texans to unofficially open up the 2023-24 season. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the Hall of Fame game gets played. The Zest Fest begins for sure. Shout out to Jotley. Thank you. yes, so preseason does begin unofficially tomorrow. Couple cool games on the slate there, but let's start off with our headlines. So obviously injury news, signings, things like that happening. Biggest news coming out of today, really, and I guess not biggest news, but Marlon Mack tore his ACL, done for the season. Sad to see that happen. I mean, I don't know how many times he continued to get injured in the ways that he's getting injured and return to the football field. So I don't know what he's going to do about that. The Cardinals just continue to have terrible, terrible luck.
Mm-hmm. In typical Cardinal fashion.
Typical Cardinal fashion. They just continue to be complete ass on and off the field, both mm-hmm. mentally and physically. Some other headlines going on, obviously. The Hall of Fame game is played. The Browns make a stunning comeback against the Jets. I think it was, 26-24? I wish I had the actual score.
I believe it was like 21-17, I think, or 21-15, maybe.
It doesn't load like it used to. Need to get a new one at some point. But a very interesting game to watch. I mean, the Jets were a big... and the Browns just found a way to make it happen. I mean, really, that's plain and simple. So interesting game to watch. A lot of variables in. Oh my God, what is going on with my computer today?
You're a mess. You're a mess.
It hurts. It hurts. Shout out to Meg, unofficially our number one fan. Apparently, it's James. Hi, James. Use your own phone.
Hey, buddy.
This is a deep analysis of the game. That's because I can't pull up the game because it doesn't exist, Megan. However, I watched all of 5 minutes of it and then watched the highlights. Dorian Thompson, good player. Glad the Browns picked him up. If Deshaun decides to go for victim number 32, you might have to start him. Just saying, that's out there. Other than that, I mean, typical Jets fashion to choke away a game. I mean, yep. DNA does not lie. I don't care if it's a preseason game. The Jets will always find a way to put themselves in a position to lose a football game.
Absolutely.
Always. They always figure out how to lose a game. Always. So, if... Again, preseason, microcosm of what a regular season is supposed to be. Not all your big players are out there. The Jets are still the Jets. They still find a way to lose, even though they were up like 17 to whatever. I don't know, nothing. What's the nipple behind you? Would you care to explain that one? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
are you talking about me in the green screen? Because it's just a room. There's no nipple. So, I see James has left the building. Anyways, so
I think
you think this it's just the green screen. See, look, my hand's going through it. It's not a nipple. I hate to break to you, but it's not a floating nipple.
We're not
No, there are no nipples involved in this show. Unless I start taking my shirt off, then well. Anyways, football. Back to football. Thank you, Megan and James, for derailing the show already. Literally 5 minutes into the show.
Look at this.
She was at the bar earlier.
Oh, okay. That
starts drinking, all bets are off with Megan. Let's go into some preseason predictions here. Really the biggest thing that we want to do to start off garbage time right this season is getting some big and bold predictions. So first I want to start off by see, when you put it in all caps, it just makes it less believable.
Yeah, I'd have to agree on that one.
Anyways, preseason predictions. So obviously we have our big categories. We have games, we have standings, all that stuff. So I have some nice stuff planned for you guys tonight. We will be going over our standings live. We will be picking each game and hopefully Turbo, just absolute no points, just gut check, picking the games, telling you what we think our standings are going to be at the end of the year, who makes the playoffs, who wins playoff games, who wins the Super Bowl, and then so on and so forth. But let's start at the basic level. Super Bowl. MVP. Mm-hmm. Okay. First award category, arguably a quarterback award, but
probably
MVP of the 2023-24 season, who do you have?
I'm going to say Josh Allen. Wow.
That's bold, seeing as though he is on the cover of Madden.
Dude, that curse broke you. What was it, last year, 2 years ago?
No, Tom Brady broke it, but...
Okay, then.
Who's counting? Okay.
I don't know about that one, but...
Well, I don't know. James is pretty big on Sammy Boy. So, I mean, he might agree with that. I don't know. We'll see. MVP. Josh Allen. Back to Josh your point. Allen.
My non quarterback MVP is going to be Tyreek Hill.
So I'll transition here. You think he's going to break 2K? Is pretty much what you're telling me. Okay,
I think he's the only person that's going to be able to do it. Maybe Justin Jefferson, maybe. But I mean,
the yak ability is the one reason why you think he can do it. But Justin Jefferson just had, 1,800 yards?
Yeah, around there, I think.
I mean, so I would disagree that I think that Tyreek Hill's the only person that could do it. I think that there are three guys, realistically, that could do it. Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and I think Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase had almost 1,300 yards in 12 games last year.
It's fucking unreal.
1,300 yards in 12 games. That 1,300 yards is a good season for any other decent wide receiver. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So, I just think that I think that, you know, can he break it? Yes. Do I think other wide receivers could also break it at the same time as him? Yes. Also.
My only concern...
We haven't seen a 1,900-yard season since Calvin Johnson, and that was in 2012, when the league wasn't as a prolific passing attack or passing-focused as it is now. Mm-hmm. So,
the only thing that concerns me about Jefferson is – what is this, his fourth year?
Yes.
Four or five. Either way. He's been as consistent or, if not, better – every year. I don't want to jinx anything, but I don't necessarily know if he'll stay healthy. He doesn't have any health concerns.
Health is fair. I can understand the health portion. Sometimes there are just players that are no-brainers, and he is a no-brainer. Yeah. He is a no-brainer. I mean, he just is. It's just certain caliber of players that you always expect to pull fucking hat, rabbit out of the hat, or pull random bullshit out and make it work. Mm-hmm. He is one of those players. Yep. It is uncanny how he can make literally anything work.
Yeah.
Not to say Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback. I mean, with Kirk Cousins, he had 1,800 yards. I don't know how many touchdowns, 12 or 13 this season. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins was stat wise a top five quarterback. So
he's a serviceable quarterback.
Right, you know, and Kirk is good for it, but I'm just saying, like, you know. Dear God. I think that, you know, he can get the job done no matter what. I mean, you could give him friggin' Jimmy Garoppolo, and he would still put up the season he puts up. So, yeah. You know, I think he's like, I don't know. Think about another wide receiver that is quarterback proof. Be like, not to say Tua is bad, but Tyreek, right? He put up the same numbers he put with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
A 5-year-old boy could be throwing that ball to Tyreek Hill.
That's what I'm saying. Like, quarterback proof. Another guy, Mike Evans. A lot of people forget about him. Quarterback proof. That man puts up 1,000 yards seasons. I understand. I think his production will take a slight bump.
This year, dude, Tampa Bay is going to be a dumpster fire with Baker Mayfield.
He's still quarterback proof. Okay. I found this. Oh, all right, cool. This year, dude. Yeah, thanks. Check it out. Shut up, Siri.
she wanted dude, in.
I don't get it. Terry McLaurin is quarterback proof. Okay, that one's also fair, only because of the amount of quarterbacks that man has had. Yeah. And that one's more proof in of how many quarterbacks he's had. Also Kirk Cousins does not carry Justin Jefferson.
No.
I appreciate the Kirk enthusiasm, but let's stop right there. Let's not go any farther.
That's
Justin Jefferson is getting at least 1500 yards every season, no matter the quarterback he's got. I'm sorry. It's happening. But anyways, so MVP, Josh Allen, great, fantastic. I disagree. I have put way too much stock in the Bills, and I put way too much faith in Josh Allen to finally break that hump of either winning an MVP or a Super Bowl or a fucking AFC championship. They can't even make it to the Super Bowl. So I'm not putting that on him. Obviously, safe bet. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, how else can you bet against the guy? He just continues to break expectations every year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like a cop-out answer, obviously, now, but it's really hard to bet against him. Dark horse MVP candidate, Lamar Jackson. I like what the Ravens are doing on offense. I like the direction they're headed, their weapons. And if we get Lamar anywhere near his 2018 season, he will win MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
My non-QB answer is Ja'Marr Chase. I think Ja'Marr Chase, what he showed last year on 12 games is unbelievable. If he can play anywhere near what he played last season, he has a legitimate shot to win MVP, especially for a Bengals team that has already made it to a Super Bowl in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's my favorite receiver right now. Ja'Marr Chase, hands down. He's the best. So good. Little side note for everybody. Me and Zach, we're in a fantasy league together. I have the first overall pick. And I'm highly considering taking Jay Jetta with the number one and pairing him with Ja'Marr Chase in the third. Highly considering.
Oh,
highly.
Let's talk about that, because I'm very interested to see. So I'm in another money league, and if we let the commissioner pick and he got first overall, the league would dissolve, let alone let that happen 2 years in a row.
Dude, so
you got some. I believe 100% that you did it fair and square and by the book. I have no doubt in my mind because I know what kind of person you are. I'm just saying, I play with other hooligans who would dissolve the league than see the commissioner get first overall pick or even a pick on the turn. So, you got your league by the balls at least, so that's good. But yeah, just don't pick.
That's how you rule. That's how a commissioner rules.
Yeah, you would think that they'd want a person that would listen to them and listen to their demands, but then they just vote you out after 2 years and put in a dude that's 4'7".
Jeez.
Oh, you know, whatever. All right, well, I have, like I mentioned, my MVP predictions. Patrick Mahomes is my boring safe pick, most likely going to happen. Dark horse quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and my sleeper pick, if somehow QB doesn't win it, is Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay.
Let's move on. Offensive player of the year. Obviously, that one usually doesn't go to a quarterback. It goes to either a wide receiver or a running back, a tight end, possibly, if, you know, they get the recognition. Any tight end that win it would be Travis Kelce, but I digress. Offensive player of the year. Who you got?
I'm going to be a homer. Saquon Barkley. I think he's going to prove himself this year even more than what he did last year, and I think he's going to show the Giants.
just to double check with you, there's only one offensive player, correct? Or is there two?
No, there's one. There's the offensive rookie of the year and then offensive player of the year.
Right, but the rookies of the year, there's an AFC and an NFC, right? Or no? Which one am I thinking is AFC NFC split?
I don't know. I don't think there is, right?
There was an AFC. Let me look. There's an AFC NFC one that splits. I'll keep looking. You talk.
Is it the AFC player of the year?
No, it wouldn't be player of the year. Let's see. I will take a look. Let's see. Here we go. I know there's one. I thought there was one. Yeah, no, there's not.
No.
There isn't. Nope.
But yeah,
I am mistaken. You know what? I must be thinking like player of the month and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I see.
I was just playing Madden, so it's fresh in my head. Yes, anyways, offensive player of the year.
Saquon.
You said Saquon? Jeez,
I know.
That's a bold ass take. I mean, that's all riding on him staying healthy completely.
Yeah.
However, I understand it. If he has a good season and he runs the fuck out of the ball like the Giants want him to, then yeah, sure, I could see that.
This year there's a high chance of him going off for 1900 total yards, 12, 13 touchdowns depending. It's just the team revolves around him. And I love that. Yeah, I love the addition of Darren Waller, but his health concern is a concern, you know?
I mean, he'll
be able to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely just like usage share, he is up there.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage that he's going to see the ball versus anyone else on that team is ridiculous. So I get that. I get that on like a percentage share thing, but offensive player of the year for me, it's going to be tough. It's going to be between I'm reading one of the comments earlier. It says, I fuck with how brave that pick is, especially with the defense in that division, especially my Commanders. Love Barkley though, dude's insane. Yeah, I mean, I can't hate on you for the boldness of the take. I just like the health concerns me, especially with how much they're probably gonna run him into the ground within the first 10 games. If he stays healthy, he should be up there. Again, if he stays healthy. Health concerns is a huge thing, especially with running backs. That's why they are the most replaceable position on the field.
But I think he's got something to prove this year. So we'll see.
Oh, he sure does. I mean, he signed a one-year deal, so it's a prove-it deal, clearly, right?
Yeah,
how much more worth do you have to this organization? That's what the Giants are looking for, so... So offensive player of the year. So it's going to be very interesting for me. Obviously I have Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to be one of them. You got to put Justin Jefferson up there. Yep. You know, I consider them 1A and 1B. I really do.
Where do you rank Tyreek upon those two?
So I like Tyreek. I do. But I feel like there has to be such a split between other players on your team in order for you to win that award. And he just doesn't have that separation from Jalen Waddle.
True.
Jalen Waddle is a one on every other team.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
So the fact that you have two ones of that caliber, I mean, Jalen Waddle still had a 1,400 yard season and had 10 or 11 touchdowns alone himself. That's without Tyreek Hill's ridiculous stats he puts up every week. So I don't necessarily know if, you know, you could put it stat-wise. It's really hard to say, you know, this player was the offensive player of the year when the number two also put up very similar, not, I wouldn't say similar stats. Obviously, it was like a peg down, but it's still in that one territory. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, the target share isn't really there for me. So I like Tyreek. I think that he deserves to win an offensive player of the year. It's really hard to justify that when Jalen Waddle is putting up the numbers that he does as well in that offense. So, you know, it's tough. It's a tough one for me with Tyreek Hill. I put him in top five, especially with you know, quarterback play and how superior the AFC is as a conference in quarterback play to the NFC, you know, it's really hard. That being said, offensive player of the year. So I might get shot for this. So, and this is going to be completely out of left field too. So this person will most likely, I think, will win Rookie of the Year just because of how he's planning on being used and potentially could be Offensive Player of the Year. I don't like saying this. People are going to shit on me for it, but give me Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, not where I thought you were going.
Alvin Kamara 2.0. This kid is nuts.
He is going to,
first of all, run all over that division. I mean, the Packers have had a terrible run defense for years, mm-hmm. and the other teams in that division have no chance for run defense at all. Defense in that division is terrible. So he's going to be racking up those yards. He's going to rack up those points. And the Lions themselves are on the come up. I mean, they were a good team last year. Mistakes led to some bad losses. I don't know. I like Jahmyr Gibbs this year for not only for Rookie of the Year, but for Offensive Player of the Year too, as my dark horse candidate. I think that, you know, teams like to utilize their young running backs and pound them into the ground. I mean, seriously. Before they hit the 28-year mark, because that's it. Once you hit 28, there are like five guys that I can name off the top of my hand that have been effective past that age. That's just the way it goes. So, you know, I think that Jahmyr Gibbs could have a potential breakout season.
I
can't even say breakout because he's a rookie, but.
I want to see how he does with David Montgomery in the first few games, because
I want to go back to their whole system, because their offensive coordinator moved on to the Saints offensive coordinator when they ran the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara bunch, utilized both running backs for their separate skills, and both of them had 1,000-yard rushing seasons, and obviously Alvin Kamara had all that upside on the reception side, on the receiving end. So it's just another recipe for
absolute success.
It's what it seems like to me. And why not use both of your backs the way that you want to use them, especially when you have a new tight end,
mm-hmm.
and you have weapons at wide receiver now.
Weapons.
I mean, you did last year, but you finally are going to be able to have them all on the field at the same time now that they're healthy and have stopped gambling. So
minus Jameson Williams, he's missing the first three games.
Yeah, he's missing his first six. It is what it is. You make a mistake, you got to pay for it. So
yeah.
But yeah, anyways, let's run through these next picks quickly because we get on tangents here. But yes, Offensive Player of the Year. I have Chase and Jay Jetta's kind of like 1A, 1B. And then I like Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I really do. All right. Well, let's move on to Defensive Player of the Year now. And we can get to rookie, comeback player maybe. And then, you know, we can go into our breakouts, sophomore slumps. And then we can do our season standings.
Okay. Damn, Defensive Player of the Year. That's – I'm going to say there's so many good defensive players. Miles Garrett. Let's go Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the same.
I was thinking Miles Garrett too. I think that now Jadeveon Clowney is off that line. They're gonna send him even more.
Yeah, it's either Myles Garrett or Nick Bosa for me. But the whole contract situation with Nick Bosa, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go the corner route here. I think Sauce steps up his game. I really do. I think Sauce wins Defensive Player of the Year this year. I know he won Defensive Rookie of the Year. I personally think that there is one corner that I like better than him, but I can definitely see Sauce overtaking him this year.
Okay.
So, Defensive Player of the Year for me is Sauce. I think a lot of these younger players that we see come into the league are more league ready than we expect them to be now. And I mean, not to mention the Jets hit home runs
last year,
both of their first round picks last year. So, all right. Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, my pick, Jahmyr Gibbs. Give it to me. I, my other pick would be Bijan Robinson, but I get it. Like he is a surefire pick. I get it. But I just okay. All right. Let's go back to Defensive Player of the Year. We got Jotley again. Montez Sweat. Defensive Player of the Year.
Talk about being a homer to your team.
No kidding.
Jeez.
At least he didn't say Chase Young.
Well, Chase Young probably get traded by the, you know.
That's crazy.
He's out. I don't think he'll stay.
It's crazy. But
my 1A is going to be Bijan. I think that's a safe pick. My sleeper, my 1B, I think it's going to be Zay Flowers. I think if Lamar
gets Zay Flowers is my sleeper pick for that, especially with, you know, him being the third on that Ravens team where they do a lot of play action, they do a lot of rollouts.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to get the ball in that kid's hands, and he makes magic happen all the time.
And so, I'm not saying I want injuries to happen, but injuries happen. If he gets the opportunity to go higher on the depth chart, he's going to succeed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to succeed. There's not much
and
more.
It just, you got what people don't realize, too, is that because Lamar is who he is, You literally just have to have Zay shadow him 5 yards out, and you will not be able to stop that offense.
No.
You just won't. You can't.
No.
So, yeah, I like Zay Flowers too. I think he out of all of the wide receivers, I think was put in the best position to succeed. I like where JSN is. Geno, I have a little bit further down on my ladder, obviously, than Lamar, but Jordan Addison, I don't even know what to say about him, obviously with the speeding thing. But being behind Justin Jefferson doesn't hurt for sure. And then Quentin Johnston, I mean, I think he was my favorite, you know, wide receiver coming out of the draft, where he got put again with another great quarterback in Justin Herbert. He's looking to take a lot of that stuff. I just think out of all those receivers, he's, you know, Zay is going to be the guy. So, I agree with you. Yeah. He's my second pick, but I have Jahmyr Gibbs winning that award. And then Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Damn.
Let's hear it. Who you got?
Don't even know. You go first.
This is a home pick. This is definitely a home pick.
I should have known.
Christian Gonzalez.
Let me see.
I just, people don't understand when Bill Belichick gets his hands on these kinds of caliber corners, he turns them into bona fide stars. Bona fide stars. I mean, for fuck's sake, he's doing it with Jack Jones. Marcus Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Marte Mapu. He's doing it. He's a defensive genius. Again, the Patriots fucking bias spewing out of my mouth, but it doesn't matter. Christian Gonzalez, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I also, you know, I if I had to pick a second, I mean, Jalen Carter.
Ooh, that was going to be it for me.
Jalen Carter would be my second pick. I mean, obviously, with the there's enough talent on the Eagles defense that if they got rid of pretty much everyone else besides Jalen Carter, they'd still have a top five defense. So there you go.
I'm going to go with Jalen Carter. they got so many defensive weapons. I think the holes are just going to open for him and he's going to take advantage.
He was going to be
a top three pick before all
he was supposed to be one, technically speaking.
I think he's
going to show. Obviously quarterback needy teams took over that, but
yeah, of course. I think he's going to show. All right. As much as it pains me to say that as a Giants fan, talking about Philly, but
I know it is tough. I mean, they're the Philly, Georgia Bull Eagles.
The Bull Eagles.
That's pretty much what they are. All right. Comeback player of the year. Do you have anyone that you can think of? Comeback player that really didn't play all that much. I mean, the only person that I can think of that would even have a chance is Cooper Kupp. You know, he wide receiver one had one of the best wide receiver seasons of all time. Obviously gets injured last year.
I think he's the surefire answer.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best answer that I could give.
I want to say what's his name? I forget his name now. Running back, Colts. I'm having a mind fart.
Jonathan Taylor. I was going to say possibly.
Possibly, given the contract thing. I don't know what happens with that if him decide to play this year, we'll let you go kind of thing or whatever. If the contract situation is figured out for this year, he could be a potential comeback player.
That's for sure. I feel like comeback player of the year really is one of the only awards that can really be given out to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It really just is compelling, you know, how compelling their story is, what they fought through, all that kind of stuff. Gino won it last year, which is great.
Yep. I've seen some people say just on social media, Odell. But
yeah, Odell could be. Yeah, that's a good pick too. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard to put Odell in that category unless he puts up wide receiver one number.
Ridiculous. Like his first three.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I feel like that. Yeah.
If he goes for 1,005, that's not it.
Right. Yeah, so I think Cooper Kupp is going to be the comeback player of the year. I think that is my prediction. I think that's a pretty should be a safe bet, but again, that award can really be anyone as long as they have come back from adversity. So I think that's it for awards. I know that there's like the Walter Payton Man of the Year, all these other awards and stuff like that, but doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So we will move on from that. So let's go into some breakout candidates. So any players that, you know, obviously rookies are included here for a breakout because they have not played yet, but any players that, you know, you have been up on and you think this is the year that they're going to bust open that door?
I think all of the rookies that we talked about,
why don't you give me your top three offensive rookies for this coming season?
Bijan, Gibbs, and
Matt Stafford's another one too. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, side note, but I was shocked to hear that the Rams tried to trade him last year. I don't remember the compensation, but it was just a shock that
Stetson Bennett's taking over that team.
Ooh,
you say that, but then people sleep on the intangible guys. They really do. It's so sad to know that he is going to be a good quarterback and people still shit on his life.
His name says it all.
I get it. He's a fourth and it's really preppy. He just has a certain swagger. I don't know. I like him. I really like him.
Okay.
I am a Georgia fan now, but actually I started being a Georgia fan before they won both of their championships. And James can attest to that. So
we have witnesses.
We do have witnesses. He told me to pick a team. I said, I'm picking Georgia because I like their running back room. Because Sony Michel. That's it. I literally picked Jordan because of Sony Michel.
Isn't he retired now?
He is, but when I chose to start watching Georgia, he scored 6 touchdowns in 3 games and won the Patriots the Super Bowl single-handedly. So at that time, I was like, yeah, I'm all for it. Now he's retired after 5 years. But that's the thing. Again, running backs, most replaceable fucking position on the field. They drafted him, won a Super Bowl, and the dude was shipped out a year later.
Yep. Whatever works, right?
Literally whatever works.
Okay. Yes. Top 3.
Your top 3 rookie candidates, you know, as part of your breakout, which is included here.
Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Zay Flowers.
I go Gibbs, Flowers, and I love Bijan. I don't really like the Falcons. I don't know. I just think that they're good, but they're not good at the same time.
They have interesting pieces.
They've got pieces. They put some stuff together. I don't know. I don't like. I guess I'll put Bijan at 3. I really am interested to see Jackson Smith and Jigba, though. I think that could potentially trump my Bijan pick at 3, but I have Gibbs, Flowers, and I guess JSN and Bijan are split at 3. So
two situations I see happening with JSN. One, he gets overshadowed by Lockett and Metcalf, and they both have great years. Or two, one of the two starters gets injured, and he bumps up and decides to fall.
I don't want to say DK, but I think this is the year that DK gets injured.
He's one of my favorites, too. He's just a freaking idiot.
He is ridiculous. People forget how massive that dude is. But, yeah, I mean, I think your second scenario is the more likely of the two, honestly. Health is such an issue, especially with Tyler Lockett being on the older side too. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still good. He's still good for 1,000 yards. He still is.
5 straight years.
Literally, get him the ball and he will make things happen. I don't know how healthy he is anymore, longevity wise. You know, as far as the total number of games played preseason and season, nothing's changed. But you're losing a preseason game. You're adding a regular season game. You know, and they're not winning the conference anytime soon. So they're still playing the wild card if they make the playoffs. You know, so longevity is going to be a question, especially for 17 regular season games. That's another high intensity, high stakes game that they're playing instead of some meaningless preseason game in the middle of August. Mm-hmm. So you know, health is going to be a factor for him, especially with JSN, you know, waiting the lurch. I don't know. I feel like DK it's his turn. Fake a calf injury, man. I don't know. Do something. But anyways, all right. So as far as other players breakout, any players that you see that we watched last year, anything like that, that are primed for a breakout. I have 2.
I mean, Garrett Wilson is one of them, I think, with the addition of
Garrett Wilson. Okay, Garrett Wilson is one for me. Mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson is one of them for me. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers factor multiplies that by 1.5. So his stats year one with Mike White, Zach Wilson, and
Joe Flacco.
So, you know, that in of itself is just that is breakout potential exponentially. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I think Bryce Young could be
okay.
Offensive rookie and a breakout player all in the same year. I've been seeing really good things about him, and I think he's going to show the world why he was drafted so high.
Okay. All right. I'm glad to hear you say that. That's my guy. That's my race right now. You know, it's really tough hearing Anthony Richardson fans out there.
He'll be the starter by week one.
I don't know.
Telling you.
I don't know. Gardner Minshew mania, baby. Take it over.
It's the same thing. It's the same situation with the Panthers. They have Andy Dalton and they have Bryce Young. Of course, they're going to have Bryce Young as the starting quarterback. It's the same thing with the Colts. Anthony Richardson is going to start week one for the Colts.
Not that I trust the Panthers organization. I trust the Colts even less than that. Especially with what the hell is happening with Jonathan Taylor. Right. I don't trust them to manage that situation correctly. No. So that's why I don't think he's starting in week one. Anyone with a brain knows that your best chance to win a football game is to put Anthony Richardson out there, not Gardner Minshew. I'm sorry. It is. Do I think that they're going to be smart enough to realize that?
No. Probably not.
Absolutely not. They clearly don't want to win a football game. Their best player is sitting out because they won't fucking pay him, which, again, controversial subject, but still, doesn't matter. They mm-hmm. won't pay him. Yep. So, yeah, so I have Garrett Wilson, obviously no sophomore slump for him. I see his production going up through the roof again. Top five wide receiver this season, fantasy-wise, regular, everything.
Mm-hmm.
My other breakout player, so it's going to be defensive. So it's a defensive player. This player is definitely not hitting a sophomore slump. Also drafted last year as well. Before the Seattle Seahawks, Tariq Woolen.
Okay.
He had an excellent season last year. I think he's going to double that production.
Wow.
They have found their answer to who is filling in Richard Sherman's shoes, and it's Tariq Woolen. Now, adding Devon Witherspoon doesn't hurt. Number one cornerback drafted this season, this offseason, you know, filling that other side. But Tariq Woolen, man, that kid's a dog. He is exactly what the Legion of Boom 2.0 or whatever the hell they want to call themselves needed. So
I would call them a different type of Legion of Boom. I think it's the Legion of Speed.
They're fast. They're fast as fuck, but
Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, and Earl Thomas, they could hit. And I mean hard. They kill people.
So, whatever they're planning on calling themselves, I'm not their marketing strategist, so I have no idea. But, yeah, I like Tariq Woolen again this season. I would say he came out of nowhere. Funny enough, I actually knew who he was before he got drafted.
I know.
James and I did. We had someone that ran literally a UTSA fan page, which is where he went to college.
Oh, okay.
University of Texas at San Antonio, I believe. And that's where he went to college. So we knew about him from the beginning, and we were pretty high on him, James more so than I. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we did his due diligence because he's a fucking fantastic football player. So, all right, breakout. Any slumps from previous rookies? Any slumpy slumps?
Slumps. Was Rashad Bateman a rookie last year?
Rashad Bateman? Last year? No, I think he's been on the team for 2 years now? Three? You could say no. I'm going to say no.
I don't think there's going to be any really bad sophomores this year.
Any sophomore slumps? I'm trying to think about who was a rookie last year. Obviously Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. I don't know, man. I don't know if Ooh, I have
any. I got one.
What?
Drake London.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, especially with them adding Bijan and you know, if they're gonna try and get him the ball more. I could see that. I don't think any quarterbacks that are playing that were rookies last year. I don't think so, right?
I don't think so. Last year wasn't a quarterback.
Yeah, last year wasn't really a quarterback draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really think of any players that are good this year or were good last year and are going to slump this year. I really can't say.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think of who else. I mean, my another one of my picks would be Cole Strange. I mean, I just think that he's not as good as he was last year, and even so, he wasn't that good. He was okay.
Yeah.
Serviceable, but he was drafted in the first round. I just think he's going to get exposed again this year. That's about it. I mean, you know, everyone else pretty much is going to stay at the level, or, you know, and is going to trend in the same direction. I don't think there's going to be too many, you know, direction changes as far as how, you know, how good or bad someone's going to be this season. So, great. Well, we are on a preseason week one. So, this week we are looking at, I believe, every single team is going to be playing. So just a quick rundown of when the games are, who's playing in them, and all that. So we have games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Sir Nicholas. So we are officially.
It's that time of the year. It's the best time
here.
Of the year.
You're here. Ugh. So the official unofficial start of the preseason starts with New England and Houston tomorrow night at 7, and then we have Minnesota and Seattle playing Thursday night at 10. Move on to Friday night. We have your New York Giants and the Detroit Lions playing at 7 p.m., Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay playing at 7, Green Bay and Cincinnati playing at 7, Atlanta and Miami playing at 7, Washington and Cleveland playing at 7:30. Then we have Denver and Arizona playing Friday night at 10 p.m., On to Saturday, we have Tennessee and Chicago, Indianapolis and Buffalo, both playing at 1 p.m. We have the Jets and the Panthers playing at 4 p.m. on Saturday, Jacksonville and Dallas playing at 5, Philadelphia and Baltimore playing at 7, both L.A. teams, the Chargers and the Rams, playing each other at 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
And then the last two preseason week one games, we have Kansas City, New Orleans playing Sunday at 1 p.m. And the last game on the slate there is the Jimmy G Revenge Tour, San Francisco and Las Vegas playing at 4 p.m. on Sunday. So that is the full slate of preseason games that we at BODA here have presented to you. So I'm interested, obviously, in my team. I'm very interested in seeing, you know, that matchup. I want to see how or what Belichick is planning. I also really need to see this Bill O'Brien offense. I think one of the biggest unknowns coming into this season was the Patriots offense. And I think that's, league wide, because they didn't have an offensive coordinator last year and now they fucking do. So, literally starting from scratch. Yes.
I don't think offensive coordinator is going to fix anything for your team's offense. You guys have dog shit receivers.
I disagree. Mac Jones
ain't him. The only positive thing in my eyes for your team, your offense, is Ramondre Stevenson, and that's it.
See,
Juju's injury prone. His knee's been busted up since his rookie year. Devontae Parker's 33 years old. Who else? You have an older Hunter Henry. I like Mike Gesicki. He's 26, 27. He's not bad.
So I understand your concern, and names do mean something. Completely fair. However, I think that the direction that Bill O'Brien has this offense going in is good. And think about this. They were probably the worst offense last season.
Yeah.
In structure, discipline, you name it. I mean, they may not have scored the least amount of points, but for all intents and purposes, they were the last place offense in the league because they didn't know what they were doing. They were running a fifth grade playbook. Like, it was bullshit. They went 8-9. Just think about that. They went 8-9, and they didn't have an offensive coordinator. They went 8-9 because there were literally three games that I can count off of the top of my head that they lost due to a single play. The Vegas game. Cincinnati, where Ramondre Stevenson fumbled the ball. They were going to go down and score and beat Cincinnati. I thought they looked like they were going to do it. Miami, they lost 17-16. They should have won that game. They could have. Again, a fumble cost them. I'm just saying. It's not. I'm not looking for them to take them to 32-1. If they get if they go from 32-15, the Patriots are a 10-7 team. And we're in a completely different conversation.
I don't know. They
see. I just like. I look for small changes that have the biggest effect, and this right here is that.
Okay.
If they tweak minor things, they are 10-7 with no offensive coordinator.
I get it.
I get the division that they're in. I get the actual pieces they have on offense. I completely understand it. There's no rhyme or reason. And old Hunter Henry 2 years ago still caught 10 touchdown passes because he's a red zone threat. Then they added someone who was actually going to be a good tight end, unlike Jonnu Smith. Fuck God. That guy. I don't think Juju's the answer. I get it. Totally don't. He's going to be injury prone. Now, do I think Kayshon Boutte and DeMario Douglas are going to be anything special? Yes, actually, I do. I think we got an absolute steal. If Kayshon Boutte figures his shit out and DeMario Douglas keeps developing the way that he does, we're not going to have need for Juju. We're not going to have need for Devontae Parker. Bill Belichick has the innate ability to find 6th and 7th round draft talents and turn them into studs. He's done it. And he's done it with 2 wide receivers in the past and others. Malcolm Mitchell, before he got injured, that dude was going to be something. Julian Edelman, Wes Welker.
Devontae Parker will be a part of the game plan until he gets released, or if he gets released, because they're paying him $11 million a year.
Well, they just restructured his deal. So, I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know what they're planning on doing. But that's what I'm looking forward to. Patriots offense this year, my number one concern. Their defense is always going to be a top 10 defense. As long as Bill Belichick is there, I have no wholesome concerns with their defense. Game to game, sure. That happens with everyone. Yeah. But as a whole, I don't have concerns with their defense. Especially with the talent that they got on defense this draft.
I think defensively, they're for once, it's the defense that will carry the New England Patriots in during a season rather than the offense. We'll see.
They only won 3 Super Bowls doing that. So, I mean,
let's change that subject.
It's the preseason. I'm just starting up here. Goddamn bullshit bias. Anyways, awesome. Any other matchups that you're looking forward to for preseason week 1, Nick, before we go into our last but very long segment?
It's tough because week 1, not all the rookies are going to play.
It's true.
I mean, not everybody's going to, it's going to be boring football. Yes, we have football back. We're all going to be excited for the first 5-10 minutes. We'll shut it off. We'll change. We'll do something in the background, but it's there. Personally, me, like I said, I'm the Giants homer of the group. I want to see how Eric Gray does. I'm curious. I want to see if he's explosive. I want to see if he has that breakaway speed. And it'd be comforting to know if we had somebody behind Saquon that could help us out, you know, barring an injury setback or anything else along those lines.
The backups that your team has had in the past have been serviceable.
Not for a whole game. They've performed on a down-to-down basis.
Orleans Darqua. Remember him?
I do. Like I said, we put him in for like 4 or 5
games. That's a good name to pull up if you're doing that name game that I taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you got an O, Orleans Darqua, right there. Boom. It checks both boxes. It's a Giants player and it's an O. So.